Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Who travels so he can pretend he's on the lam, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba. We are broadcasting live statewide from our beautiful studios here in Green Bay, downtown at City Deck Landing. Great to have you with me on a Friday night as we start hour number two. Just a reminder, folks, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer. And join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room at 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin. I will be there Tuesday night. We will be doing a remote from there. That will be a lot of fun. Conrad will be back here holding down the fort, I trust.
I will, yes.
But a boy. Yeah. No tomfoolery while I'm gone. It'll be fun. We'll have John and Gordy from the morning show on WMDX will join me at the tap room. Kirk Bankstead and Susan are going to sing. And Richard Vargas, I think, is the other guest. He is a poet, and he is going to read some poetry. It's going to just be a really fun night down there at the Minocqua Brewing Company. Richard Vargas, yeah. So join us if you're in the Madison area Tuesday night from 7 to 9. It's going to be a blast, and it should be a gorgeous night. All right. Now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. I met this guy years ago. He lives up in the Marinette area, kind of around where I live. I don't know if he's a native. We'll cover that in the interview. But he is directing a play called Clue at the Theater on the Bay at UWGB Marinette. Beautiful campus, beautiful theater. The theater is still functioning, and hopefully it will be for a while. But the show is this weekend, and Patrick Mines joins us now on Nightlight. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Pete. Thanks for having me on the show. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yeah, well, you got a good reason to call this time.
Yeah.
This is pretty cool. You got the play. Where are you guys? This is, okay, let's just cover this real quickly. You guys, you had your opening night last night, and it runs through Sunday, correct?
Correct. We've got the show that's going on right now tonight. We've got another show tomorrow, the 4th, starting at 7, and then we've got a Sunday matinee at 2 p.m.
Okay, perfect. And full disclosure, there is someone named Schwabba in the show, but I have helped promote shows at the Theater on the Bay where there were no Schwabbas in the show. So my motivations here are pure, I will say.
I tried to get a little dirt on you from that Schwabba, and they were reluctant to do so.
Oh, listen, my daughter has a big mouth. She will spill the tea. So I'm glad you couldn't track her down before this interview. Hey, I love the story how we met. I first met you. I don't know if you remember this. I think I was living in LA at the time. I was visiting around the holidays, and I had an opportunity. There was a show called Defending the Caveman with Rob Becker. He was a stand-up comic, turned out this show called Defending the Caveman, where he was like this married guy and equated marriage to cavemen and that kind of stuff. And it was a nationally touring show, and he was stepping down. I auditioned for the role, and you filmed me. I assume you remember that. It wasn't that long ago.
I do, but that's not actually the first time we met.
Oh, no. Okay.
You, in 1993, 94, you had come to see your dad in Sound of Music here at Theater on the Bay.
Oh, yeah.
And he introduced me to you, I was so impressed by this comedian that's been on Comedy Central and TV. And now that I know you, I'm not that impressed anymore.
I've come back down to earth in a big way. Wow, that's right. Okay, now that does bring back memories, and I do remember seeing Sound of Music. I love that theater. I love the space. I love the location. It's right on the water in Marinette. If you are in the Marinette area or even don't mind a short road trip, I will say, and I am biased, but I think I'm telling the truth here. At the Theater on the Bay, you see some shows. There is some incredible talent in our little area that far exceeds most community theaters, if I could be so bold to say that. Would you agree?
I think so. It's a beautiful space. They just renovated it the last couple of years. Brand new seats, brand new lighting, the whole shebang. And we've got so much talent here that it floors me sometimes how professional it is too.
Yeah.
When you think about community theater, sometimes you think about, oh, they're just, you know, a bunch of people that don't know what they're doing, getting up on stage and just saying lines poorly and whatnot. But
Right. We've
got incredible talent here. Chase Grabowski is one of our folks here, and he was nationally recognized for his singing. And we've got folks coming in from outside the area just to work with us. So yeah, it's I'm proud to be part of the legacy here. Oh, just shy of 60 years they've been doing shows out here at Theater on the Bay.
Yeah, it's and I know that in most community theaters don't have the luxury of having a bunch of people that were trained elsewhere classically that come back. A lot of times they go places and then maybe they come back later, but you guys are blessed with talent that was developed there, that went and they kind of enhanced it a little bit and then came back. So that's what you're dealing with. And I think that's why you guys have such great shows. And directing notwithstanding, I mean, you've directed several shows there, Brittany Welch, John Thornberry. You got the whole company is in great hands. So I applaud you for that. And I should also say, as a disclaimer, I did cast Patrick. Every once in a while, Patrick, the film The Godfather of Green Bay comes up on this show. And because I have people from the movie on the show. And if you folks that are out there have seen The Godfather of Green Bay, Patrick is the guy in the comedy club where my character says, I make fun of someone who died in a snowstorm. The joke being that the snow doesn't all fall at once. You have time to get inside and seek shelter. And Patrick says... Want to give us the line?
My cousin died in a snowstorm.
And the set went from bad to worse. That was really fun having you in the film, too. So tell us about Clue, Patrick.
Well, it is based on the movie that is based on the board game Clue. Back in 1985, they put out a movie that starred Tim Curry and Martin Mull and Madeline Kahn and Christopher Lloyd and Eileen Brennan and just a whole cast, a really solid ensemble cast.
Yeah.
It's a murder mystery, but it is a farce. It takes what you expect from a murder mystery movie and just turns it on its side.
Yeah.
And this production of for the stage has taken the script and it's changed it somewhat to, you know, make it work on a stage. So even if you're familiar with the movie, some of the things in the show might surprise you. But it is a hoot. So, I was really excited to direct this. We've been talking about doing this show for a while, like back, in pandemic times, we were talking about doing this show as a possibility. And it was kind of put on the back burner because a couple of local high schools, actually, Peshtigo High School did this particular version and Marinette did the musical version, which is not related in any way. But, so we had to put it off for a while and then the opportunity arose again. They're like, Patrick, would you like to direct it? And I'm like, yes, I would.
Oh, nice. The movie was critically acclaimed too. And they're going to remake the movie. I don't know if you read that. That just came out recently, I think.
That's what I heard. I heard Ryan Reynolds is involved with it.
Yeah.
That's about all I know about it, though.
Right. Yeah. No, it should be good. So is this the kind of thing, do you pick your shows? Because you don't direct every show there. Do you have to like the material before you choose something? How does that work?
I like to know the material before I jump on board. The last show I directed out here was Escanaba and the Moonlight.
Oh yeah.
And I wasn't familiar. I actually had never seen the movie before that. And they were like, well, we've got this script. We want to put on the stage here. And, you know, you're the kind of guy that we think would work well with directing it. And so the one before that was, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, which is a comedy based on Hamlet. And that's my favorite play of all time. And I've been aching for 20 years to try to get that done. So it's kind of a mixture of both. I had put forward Clue, like I said, a couple of years ago, and they were real keen on doing it then. And, you know, we had to put it off. So when the opportunity came up and they were looking for shows, they're like, well, we could get Clue and have Patrick do her at Clue. And we just took it from there.
There you go. Do you have any say? Like, I mean, since there's not one director, like, is it hard to get the material you want to do produced there?
Not really. Like, I've got a list of plays that I'm interested in directing, and a list of plays that I'd be interested in performing in if the chance would arise. And in fact, we're getting together next week to discuss next season. They're putting together several of us directors and folks to kind of talk about, you know, what would we like to see done and what we would like to do and how it might work in this area.
Very nice. I know you got to get back to rehearsal or to watch the play, as it were. What do you think? I know you're a big Star Wars fan because we have a mutual friend, Dave Hendrick, and I know all about your love of Star Wars. What do you think about The Phantom Menace being re-released?
You know, it's interesting to me the way that that has all fallen out, because I remember getting my master's degree and then the very next day getting in line for Phantom Menace because it opened like 3 days later. So I love that back in the theaters, but it's interesting because it was so universally heated when it came out.
I know, right?
And now it's loved and the new ones are hated. So it's kind of funny.
The passing of time. Yeah. Well, hey, get back to the show. You have a performance tomorrow night, still Saturday night and Sunday afternoon. Thanks so much for your time, Patrick. Continued success at Theater on the Bay with Clue.
All right. Thanks a lot, Pete.
You got it, buddy. All right. That was Patrick Mines, the director of Clue at Theater on the Bay in Marinette. If you're in the area, trust me, and you go see a show there, you will not be let down. There's a tremendous group of actors, and they do great stuff. So, hey, coming up in just a little bit, one of our favorite Friday friends will be joining us, as usual, with some fantastic music. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Did I fall? Getting through hour number two here of Nightlight on a Friday night. Remember when we started doing the show? It was like December 4th. It was so cold. And now it's like, I feel like I'm in school and I want to do the show outside today. Like it's that beautiful, you know?
Maybe we have to do that sometime.
Why not? Let's do it. Coming up Monday on the show, folks, Roger Rappaport will be here. He's a phenomenal writer, filmmaker, investigative journalist. He wrote a book about Patty Hearst. He's going to join the show Monday night at 7:35. Very excited. I interviewed Roger and actor Richard Reilly on PBS Wisconsin years ago about a film that Roger made called Pilot Error that Richard was in. He's very, very serious guy, very hardcore intellectual, investigative journalist. Very excited to talk to him about Patty Hearst, which is a fascinating story as well. And those of you who might not know, Patty Hearst is the granddaughter of William Randolph Hearst, who was the subject of the film Citizen Kane, or it was loosely based on his life, but she was kidnapped. And we're going to talk about the book that Roger wrote. And then coming up in the second hour on Monday, comedian Tracy Schrader will be here. She is a Wisconsin comedian who lives in Appleton. She will be in studio on Monday night. So a fun show Monday as well. Hope you guys can come back for that. Right now, we got a text too, right before we did the our question. I should read this again. Our question tonight is, what does not belong in a salad? Some of the things we've learned people put in salads that weren't popular with most people, but more than a few people said this is what they put in their salads. Banana, peanut butter, peppermint, popcorn, marshmallows, meatballs, beef jerky, and hot dogs. Nothing makes sense anymore, folks. Are we politically divided in this country? Yes. I understand what people put in their salads less than the political division. Peanut butter. Love to know the thinking behind that. Steve from Florida. Conrad's dad checks in. I tried. How do you pronounce that word, Conrad?
I have no idea.
I think
there's
supposed to be a B in there. I think it's Braunschweiger. I tried Braunschweiger in a salad the other day. Not good. Will you Google Braunschweiger? I think that's a sausage.
It has to be.
And that's not, sausage I could see more than a hot dog, but yeah, that wouldn't be my go-to for a salad. And I'd be curious, like, Steve, did you think it would be good so you added it, or was it already in there?
So the Braunschweiger is a type of sausage made from ground pork livers. That sounds awful by itself.
I need a vomit bucket here in the studio. That's awful.
Dad, I don't know what you're trying down there.
Key West has changed you, man. Bridget from the 818 checks in. She says, I do not like fruit in my salad. Strange. Just the word strange. Yeah, we talked about this, Bridget, a little bit earlier. I don't mind the occasional strawberry or blueberry. My mom makes salads with like feta cheese. And the berries are okay with a vinaigrette. But typically, I would agree with that. Like a Chinese chicken salad often has those little mandarin oranges. I don't know. I guess I could live with fruit in a salad, but I could see why some people don't. I don't like fruit on pizza. We got another text here when we were talking about Wes Anderson from the 814. Jameson checking in from Pennsylvania says, check out Slacker by Richard Linklater. His first film, I believe. It's almost a one-shot film. Very cool. I did see Slacker. But I'm glad you texted that, Jameson, because I kind of forgot about Slacker. And that is, like, Richard Linklater takes chances, and he's not opposed to trying something, you know, unique or gimmicky. Like, with Boyhood, he used the same cast, and the cast aged over 12 years. So talk about an ambitious project, but you're seeing the real people grow up before your eyes, like in Boyhood. I thought Boyhood was a masterpiece, and I loved it. It did not win Best Picture that year. I want to say maybe 2014, 2015, but just loved it. Loved Dazed and Confused, and I really think Slacker was cool. The one-shot thing, that was done in the film, was it 1917, the World War I movie, where it was pretty much, it wasn't one shot quite. They did have to cut some stuff, but it was basically one shot and really cool. I love when people take chances like that and try to do something cool. As long as it doesn't take you out of the movie. And one shot, like in Slacker, doesn't. You really feel like you're kind of in that world. It's pretty cool. Great text, Jameson. So we should get to a movie review. One of the other movies available this week. Is a film called, it slips my mind out.
The Idea?
Did a Hollywood Minute on it. Yeah, The Idea of You.
Yeah.
And you watched it today, Conrad.
I did.
Conrad took one for the team and watched a rom-com today, and now he's here to report on it. Let's you know the next Rob Thomas.
I'm a sucker for just seeing a new movie and just watching it.
Right.
And, sorry, we're getting a phone call.
We'll have to put a pin in this review. I'll say, while Conrad is answering the phone, this is like our apartment or something. I started Baby Reindeer last night because I had heard so much about it. It's getting a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. I watched the first two episodes. Really weird. Really intense, really awkward, but really cool.
So.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know. Wrong number, maybe? I don't know. Just
your movie review got interrupted by a wrong number when you're trying to order a pizza or something. Get with the program.
So,
all right, go ahead.
You know, I don't know. It's reviewing well. I looked at Rotten Tomatoes and it is an 82%.
Yeah,
which I think is way too high for it. I like rom-coms. I like But I like more comedy in it. This one just said more romance, but it had a lot of sadness in it too.
Right.
Which it just, it's just random too. It's just like, oh, well, I thought it was supposed to be a funny movie or something, but it goes along with a mom who takes her child to Coachella, and she's trying to find a bathroom, so she just goes into a trailer. And the trailer is of a famous musician. And that's how they meet.
Oh, come on.
And it's that's the whole movie then from there. Is he finds her. Yeah. And
who's the, it's not Natalie Portman, it's
Annie Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway, right.
Yeah.
I like her.
I mean, no, she, I mean, I don't know. It, she did an okay job. In
here's why I don't think it's a recommendation, because you like rom-coms.
Yes.
You like Anne Hathaway, but and the movie is reviewing well, according to Rotten Tomatoes, but you still didn't really like it.
No, there's just not enough comedy in it to be a rom-com.
Okay. That sounds like a rom sadness.
Rom sad.
Like, who wants that, you know? I heard, and did you say there was a lot of sex scenes in it too?
I counted four.
But who's counting? Well, now I'm going to watch it. All right. So here's from the 920, Paula check. Conrad's mom checking in. Beets do not belong in a salad. Oh, man, Paula, usually we are in cahoots. I've had a beet salad with blue cheese. Dynamite. And you know what? I take that back. I liked it. Part of it is just because it's so good for you. Beets are a superfood. So I'll muscle down some beets, but I understand where you're coming from, Paula. Not too late to get in on the question, what does not belong in a salad? 855-752-484. What's our number here, Conrad? 4842? Yeah.
There you go.
85575. Civic. Coming up next on Nightlight, the lovely and talented Terry Barr with breaking music news. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me. Every day sunshine.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwab podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwab anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwab. I believe in
miracles. You got Nightlight, folks. We got a half hour to go before we call it a weekend. And it is so fun to have you guys here on Friday. We've had some great times here so far. Rob Thomas was here. Patrick Mines. We talked a little small town theater. The Fall Guy. Sasquatch Sunset. Conrad gave a movie review. It's been a beautiful evening. And we are turning things up a notch, too, because, oh, before we bring Terry on, if you want to get in on the question, we've had some pretty fun answers. What does not belong in a salad? That's the question. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. So there you go. All right. One of our Friday faves, as all of you who listen to Nightlight know, is Terry Barr. She is one of the hosts of Max Inc. here at Civic Media and just does some amazing feature work. You hear her stuff all throughout the week, all throughout the day. She does fantastic work, and we love having her here on Friday, and she joins us now. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Pete, how are you? And wait, you don't like The Fall Guy. Is that what I'm understanding?
Well, I haven't seen it. Rob Thomas did not give it a glowing review.
Ooh,
It's reviewing well for the most part, but I think reviewers are getting kind of soft these days, to be honest.
Oh, we need more hot sauce out there where they're just kind of like, here's what it really looks like.
And then you can do a feature on where the hot sauce is from Baraboo, from the factory, where, you know, you could do one of your, that's the kind of sauce we can throw on it. But you know what I mean, Terry? Like, when we were younger, you know, not every film got good reviews. I can't
if
reviewers don't want to lose their press credentials or don't want to have a studio ticked off at them, but it seems like they've gone soft and they it's like, it's okay. Studios are spending millions of dollars on movies. If they can't get it right, let them know that so they can get it right next time. But don't just fluff it out there. That's my opinion.
Yeah, well, and it's not cheap to take a family to the movies.
No.
So if you want to go and you think, ooh, this is going to be awesome, and then you get there and you're like, oh, no, I just spent a lot of money and this is a bummer.
Absolutely. Well said. Yep. So, all right, so you, first of all, thank you. We had Eric Chellin on the other night. He was so good.
Yeah.
Love talking to him. Love the Mascot Music Theory. he has gotten, he's been on your show. He's been on our show. You're at his concert tonight.
Yep.
I think two words, house band for Civic Media. Let's,
I like it.
Put them on the payroll.
And they are so great too. I don't know if you guys even had a chance to talk about so many of the musicians that give back to their communities or the greater world in many ways. And Eric and the Mascot Theory, they have every November a festival called Flannel Festival. And all the money raised goes to help people keep the power, keep the heat in the summer, keep the air on.
Love it.
And I just think things like that are amazing. And that's kind of why I picked this young man I want to tell you about tonight, who's going to be a guest on our show tomorrow night.
Fire away. We're ready.
Okay. This guy's name is Craig Bauman. Now, I got to meet Craig as a part of the People Brothers Band. And this band is incredible. They own their own venue out in the Driftless area. It's an old farm. And they, for the first time in like 20 years, actually have a stage built. Otherwise, they were just kind of going with it. Every year, whoever would show up, great. Yeah. But it's gotten bigger and bigger. So now they felt like they had to do that. Well, Craig, by day, owns a music store in Waukesha, gives lessons. And then he has his own band as well, Craig Bauman and The Story. So when they recently put out some new music, I wanted to talk to Craig about that. But then we ended up talking about this festival that he himself basically puts together every year. 15 years now. It's going to be 15 years this May. And it's called Jam for Jamaica. Hmm. And what happened was, he went on a mission trip years ago to Jamaica, and they helped rebuild houses. And by that, what he told me was, you know, $2,000 there can go a long way, but most people don't have that. But if we brought in $2,000, we could put up a roof, put up some siding and windows, and help them have a nice place to call their home.
Very nice.
But he said, many people are not, basically, they're undereducated and they're underserved once you get off of the beaches of Jamaica. So he was working in the inner parts of Jamaica. But that hit him so hard that when he got a few years older and was able to do this, he decided to make this a big part of what he does as a musician. So this Jam for Jamaica Festival is coming up on May 16th. It's a Thursday, and it runs through early Sunday morning, and then everybody cleans up on that Sunday day and heads home. But it's happening in Marshall, Wisconsin, which is just east of Sun Prairie. So it's in Dane County. Like I said, 15 years of doing this.
That's incredible.
And
yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And his band, of course, plays, but then he invites all the friends, all the other great bands from around Wisconsin to come and play this festival. And any money, every single penny goes back to this whole idea of trying to help rebuild the inner section of Jamaica. What a great guy.
That's unbelievable. And I'll tell you, I always thought like musicians or singers or whatever do enough just by bestowing their talents on us and making our lives more enriched.
I agree.
But going
absolutely.
That much farther, that's incredible. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him.
Yeah. And he doesn't just to help, you know, like I remember one time I was talking about, you know, this Jam for Jamaica, and somebody said, well, you know, that we have enough of our own problems here. Why can't they help here? And I said, well, that's the bigger thing. He does. But this is where he has put his name and his money behind. But he plays lots of other benefits. And, you know, that's the thing people don't often recognize or hear about, that all these musicians playing a benefit often do it for free. They don't get paid. They do it on their own time and their own dime. But, you know, with a good outcome, that's what I think is hoped for from everybody.
Why do people criticize what charity or where you're doing something nice for humanity and people find a problem with that? Get a life.
I know. And, you know, he laughs about it because, he's heard it, but then he can list off all the places, right. all the benefit. Yeah.
He's
but,
you know, back.
This really is his main one. And for anybody that wants more information, if you want to attend the festival, it's camping fun. You can go for a day. You can go all 4 days. Or yeah. if you just want to, you know, support it, it's simple. The website is jam4jam.org. So jam4jam.org.
Jamforjam.org. Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. And you got him on your show tomorrow night.
We're going to have him on. He's going to tell us all kinds of new things surrounding what's happening at the festival this year. Again, that's coming up on, it kicks off on May 16th, which is a Thursday. Okay. But he's got some great music out as well. And I think he hopes that by hearing the music, maybe you'll be moved to get involved or to attend the festival.
Yeah.
Do you want to play a song?
I do. Let's play. You sent us one of the songs we both really liked was Across the Border. This is Craig Bowman and The Story, and you can hear them tomorrow night on Max Inc.
Kalamazoo, Indiana, Drew Carey's shoes, got Mavis Staples on the radio. Only one way to get there, one way I know. We'll be right back.
love it. That's great. Something about whenever I hear the city Joliet, Illinois in a song, I know I'm going to love it. Isn't that weird?
That's great. And of course, as he was singing and talking about people on the radio, I'm thinking, ooh, he could insert your name somewhere yes, in there, could. And then you would have a little jingle for your show.
There we go. I got to have this guy on at some point. That's great. I love that bluesy, kind of hard-driving bluesy sound. That's fantastic. Well, you got a great show tomorrow night. It's going to be another great one, Terry. Thank you.
Pete. Thanks so much. And I'm glad that we can share these stories of the other sides of the musicians, too. They're not just out there playing a show and hopefully making some money. They're giving back, and they run small businesses.
It's great.
There's a lot to all of these people.
Yeah, everyone you've brought on our show, we've really liked, and it's just excellent. Please keep them coming, and hopefully we'll see you back here next Friday night. But if Craig Bowman travels, we'd love to have him here in Green Bay and perform in the studio and whatever we can do.
I will talk to him for you tomorrow night and put a bug in his ear. I bet he'd love it.
All right, thank you. And be careful at that Mascot Theory show. That sounds like it could get crazy.
Have a great weekend, you guys.
You too.
Happy
Thanks,
weekend
Terry.
To all.
You as well. Have fun. That's another good one.
That was a great song.
Great song.
Yeah.
And you played both songs. I liked them both, but I can't even believe that one just crushes.
It was hard to choose one because the other one was great too, but
awesome. Okay. We're going to wrap things up when we come back, but we've got some, I want to talk about Wes Anderson. Maybe we'll close the week with some Wes. And we'll read your text, too. What does not belong in a salad? You got a few minutes to get in on the fun. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. What does not belong in a salad? This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network. We have Terry on just about every Friday night. Terry Barr, she's one of the hosts of Max Inc. with Jimmy and Rocker. Check out their show tomorrow night at Civic Media. It's a six-hour music show. It's just a festival of music on the radio. And they do Live in the Lair tomorrow night. You just heard a song by Craig Bowman in the story. They'll be the guest tomorrow night. But having Terry on every Friday made me also think of another colleague of ours, Mike Clemens, who lost his mother recently. Our best to you, Mike. And I got an email from Mike this week who said, you know, he's not ready to come back on the air yet. And that's totally fine. But just a great guy. And I meant to do this earlier in the week. We've been thinking about you, Mike. Hope you're doing well. And you have absolutely our deepest sympathy. So we will look forward whenever you're ready to having you back on the show. But anyway. Once again, we'll be doing a remote Tuesday night in Madison at the Minocqua Brewing Company. They have a new tap room at East Washington, 2927. If you're in the Madison area, Tuesday night from 7 to 9, stop by. Have a libation. Here's some singing. There'll be some poetry. John and Gordy will be there from the WMDX morning show here at Civic Media. That will be fun. It's going to be a really fun night, Tuesday night in Madison. So stop on by for some Nightlight remote, and it'll be fun. So, I don't know. The salad thing, I think we're done with that. We're going to put that to bed. Let's talk Wes Anderson before we get out of here. One of my favorite movies is Bottle Rocket, it's my favorite Wes Anderson movie, but Rushmore, which came out right after Bottle Rocket, that was like his first big film that he did with an actual budget, even though I think the budget was only like $11 million, which by Hollywood standards is not a lot. But it was Bill Murray and Jason Schwartzman, Olivia Williams, a really fun cast. And we have a clip. I want to play this because this is Bill Murray giving the graduation speech at Rushmore Academy, which is typically packed with rich kids. Bill Murray's kids go there too. And he hates his own kids. They're these two redheaded twins. And at one point in the car, the kid just mouths off to Bill Murray, and Bill Murray starts wailing on him while he's driving. Hilarious. But in this particular scene, he's addressing all of the kids at Rushmore Academy, and it's a great speech.
You guys have it real easy. I never had it like this where I grew up. But I send my kids here because the fact is, you go to one of the best schools in the country, Rushmore. Now, for some of you, it doesn't matter. You were born rich and you're going to stay rich. But here's my advice to the rest of you. Take dead aim on the rich boys. Get them in the crosshairs and take them down. Just remember, they can buy anything, but they can't buy backbone. Don't let them forget that. Thank you.
Graduation, Herman. Perhaps you could give us an encore. Nicholas Copernicus.
Oh, give a sh**. I pay for the whole damn natatorium. The least these little pricks can do is hear me out.
Hello, Dr. Guggenheim.
Hello, Max.
Hello, I'm Max Fisher. I just wanted to say that I strongly agree with your views concerning Rushmore. Your speech was excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello.
Oh, Mr. Bloom, this is my chapel partner, Dirk Calloway.
Nice to meet you, Dirk.
Well, thanks. You know, I really think you're right about Rushmore. Come on, Dirk.
What's his name again?
Max Fisher.
Sharp little guy.
He's one of the worst students we've got.
It's such a great scene. I love the connection. Bill Murray and Max form a connection because Bill Murray was not a rich kid either, but he went to Rushmore, did very well. And as you heard in the clip, paid for the whole chapel or auditorium or whatever. So Max is the one doing the standing ovation at the end, just him. But let's keep that clip, Conrad, with get them in your crosshairs. I love that. And so they form this bond. Let's play the other clip. This is just some highlights of their relationship. And in the first scene, it's Bill Murray and Jason Schwartzman sitting at dinner. Luke Wilson plays the boyfriend, and he's wearing scrubs, and he's dating the teacher that Max has a crush on. So let's hear that.
So you were in Vietnam, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah.
Were you in the
Yeah, I was in
I like your nurse's uniform, guy.
These are OR scrubs.
Oh, are they? Well, they're totally inappropriate for the occasion.
Well, I didn't know we were going to dinner.
That's because you weren't invited.
Take it easy, Max.
You were the one that ordered him a whiskey and soda.
And how long will you be staying with us, Mr. Bloom?
Indefinitely. I'm being sued for divorce.
Very good.
Hey, amigo.
So who gave you the shiner?
Either Ronnie or Donnie. Can't tell the difference anymore.
Well, whichever one it was really clocked you.
Kids don't like it when their parents get divorced.
I don't blame them.
Neither do I. Adios, muchacho.
Hey, are you okay?
I'm a little bit lonely these days.
That's the perfect attendance award and the punctuality award. I got those at Rushmore. I thought you could choose which one you liked more, and you could wear that one and I could wear the other.
I'll take punctuality.
Just a great, a really fun movie. Wes Anderson always has phenomenal music in his films and quirky characters. And their relationship, Bill Murray and Jason Schwartzman's relationship in that movie, it's just fun to watch. And the way it evolves, they become adversaries at one point, and then they patch things up. Really fun stuff. Hey, this was really fun. I'm so glad you guys were with me tonight. It's a great way to go to the weekend. Just talking about some fun movies with some great guests. And thank you for your texts. I want to thank Rob Thomas, Patrick Mines, as always, Terry Barr. And it's so much fun when you guys interact with our salad talk. Conrad's movie review was rudely interrupted. But we will be back Monday. We're going to be talking about the disappearance of Patty Hearst in a new book. And the author will be here, Roger Rappaport, and comedian Tracy Schrader. More fun stuff Monday night. Have a great weekend, everybody. I'm Pete Schwabe. On behalf of Conrad, have a great weekend. And we'll see you Monday. Good night, Wisconsin. Bye.